Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Amen. So, for those of you, I believe I know most of you, but for those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Mike. I am one of the youth leaders here at Oceans Unite Christian Center, under the supervision and training up underneath Pastor Alex. It is a great honor for me to be able to call myself a son in the house, training up underneath him, and I just ask that in his absence this morning that you could possibly receive me. Amen? Not as a substitution, but rather as an extension of his ministry. Is that okay? Amen. So he sends his love, him and Miss Naomi. They send their love to you, and they're going to be back next week. Amen. Amen. So this morning, I've got a word put together on comfort and comfort zones and why it's so important that we break through those comfort zones and breaking out of that comfort zone. And why is it so important? So I started by looking at what does comfort actually mean? Because, you know, want to know what Google says about it. So Google says that comfort is a state of physical ease and freedom from pain or constraint, the easing or alleviation of a person's feelings of grief or distress. Now, I like to be comfortable. Is that okay? I got my air conditioning set at a specific number because if it's 75, it's too hot, and if it's 73, it's too cold. 74 is my number. I got my recliner positioned in the exact place for the TV because, you know, I want to be comfortable. My truck, when I'm driving down the road, I fiddle with the little levers on the side and I position it up and back and left and right until it's comfortable because I like to be comfortable in what I'm doing. Can anybody relate to this? Am I the only one that plays with the buttons for 45 minutes until we get the preset right? I like to be comfortable. But sometimes in that comfort zone, I don't get where I need to be. I don't get the fullness of the blessing that could be because I get comfortable. That recliner is so comfortable that I forget to pray that night. Is this okay? Sometimes comfort isn't always just things that we like. Sometimes comfort is doing the hard thing. I have a couple U groups, young adult groups and youth groups that we do on the Wednesday nights, the U groups. I'm training myself not to call them cell groups anymore, amen. And sometimes there's a little bit of a confrontation sometimes. Difference in doctrine or whatever it may be. But confrontation isn't always comfortable. It's not. But if we want to be conquerors, that's the thing I love about it. We sang that song this morning about overcoming, and we want to be conquerors and have the victory. And because of Jesus, we have the victory, and it's such a powerful song. But in order to be a conqueror, there has to be a conflict. And if we don't conquer the conflict, we can't have the victory. But see, there's got to be a conflict somewhere. And sometimes conflict is a little bit uncomfortable. Is this okay? So we're going to address a couple things today concerning comfort. Another thing I like to talk about when it comes to comfort is complacency. And I'm guilty. I am. Sometimes I get complacent. It's just another Friday night. It's just another Sunday. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I get complacent. I get comfortable that we have a church where God is moving, and it's so dangerous because we should be passionate and excited and reverent and praising God that He is moving here, because what would happen if He wasn't? We'd just be another church. I'm so thankful that God moves here. And we can't afford to be complacent, but we're not talking about complacency. We're talking about comfort. Amen. So I don't usually do this. I usually have little portions of scripture, but today I've actually got three stories. Is that okay? That portrays comfort and comfortability in three different places. And I hope that you guys, maybe you guys can relate to at least one of the three. If you don't relate to the first one, please don't shoot me. Just hold on. We'll get to the second or the third one, and I'm sure it will relate to you in some way, form, or fashion. Amen. So let's go to John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. And this is a man healed at the pool of Bethsaida. So after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethsaida, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. And then whoever stepped in first, after seeing the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man who had an infirmity for 38 years. Now, I want to stop there for just a second. Who had an infirmity for 38 years. This gentleman had been sick for quite a long time. 38 years he had been struggling with whatever this infirmity that he had. 38 years is a long time to carry a burden. 38 years is a long time to carry an infirmity. 38 years is a long time to carry something. I'm not even 38 years old. This man had been carrying whatever this ailment, this disease, whatever it was, he had been carrying it longer than I have been alive. That's a long time. And in that time, is it possible that he may have gotten comfortable in his disease or his ailment or his situation or his circumstance or his sin? Am I talking to anybody? If you do something for long enough, you're going to get comfortable in it. So don't just look at this as just the disease only or the infirmity only. Apply this to where it needs to be. Anything that you do for any length of time is easy to get comfortable in it. We come to church and God moves every single Sunday night. Praise Jesus, hallelujah, he moves here. But if you see it every single night for 6-7 years, is it possible you might get a little comfortable with it? Okay, all right, okay, well, let's continue. Okay, so then when Jesus saw him lying there and he knew that he had already been in that condition a long time. You know what, I love Jesus. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time. Jesus knew that this man had been in that state for 38 years. He had seen him go through the pain. He had seen him go through the struggles. He had seen the situations with his family, with not having any friends, with not having this or with not having that. He had seen the struggles that this man had gone through. Knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time. And he said to him one simple question. Do you want to be made well? And what's the next verse say? He says, the sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. Do you want to be made well? Oh, but you know I have no friends. Oh, but you know nobody loves me. Oh, but you know poor little me. I can't get into the pool. I can't this. I've had this infirmity for 38 years. I don't have any friends. I've been dealing with this sin for a long time. I have this habitual sin that I just can't break. I have this circumstance in my life. I've been poor. My daddy was poor. My daddy's daddy was poor. I've been doing this for a long time. Do you want to be made well? It's a simple question. Yes or no? But no, he goes on a long rabbit run. Poor old me. I'm a wreck. I'm a mess. I've got this, that, and the other. Isn't that just like us? The word of God comes to the man. All he has to do, hey, does this sound like Pastor Alex on Sunday night? All you got to do is respond to the word. But no, we want to complain about our circumstance and our situation and this and that and the other. Oh my goodness, it's so bad. My daddy's been poor and my dad was poor. And you know what? Maybe you are poor, but God hasn't called you to be poor. Maybe you need to step out of that comfort zone box, kick the box out of the way and take a step of faith and try that business opportunity that God's put on your heart so that you can step out of being poor and stepping into provision. Amen. All right, I'm getting ahead of myself. He asks one question. You want to be made well? But no, let's babble on about all the situations and the circumstances. All the different problems that we have. You know, I remember my lovely wife used to get so angry with me when we first got together. She still gets angry with me from time to time, but it's usually different things. She got very angry with me because my whole family, just a little background knowledge of Mike, my whole family comes from Michigan. I was born and raised in Florida, South Florida. My whole family was from Michigan, and they're all farmers. We've got thousands of acres in Michigan that they still continue to farm soybean and et cetera, corn, whatever. Now, all of my family, my wife has heard this, Pastor Alex has heard this. I think I even got rebuked from Pastor Alex one time for saying this and, you know, saying it over my life so many times. But, you know, all of the Cornell men in the family die at the age of 65 or less. Because we have a problem with our lungs and we can't breathe, and because of the corn dust and the diesel fumes and all that, we get what they call farmer's lung, and it's like black lung disease, it's like lung cancer. And like the last, I don't know, 8 generations or something of my family, all the Cornell men have died before the age of 65. So like for me growing up, I didn't know God, I didn't know the word, I didn't know, you know, so it's just common knowledge. I had gotten comfortable in the fact that, you know what, I'm gonna die before 65, so I'm gonna live it up till then. And I used to tell my wife all the time, honey, you know, we gotta live this thing right, because by 65, that bucket's gonna be kicked. Don't say that. Your words have power. Okay, honey, whatever. I've come to the realization, I've come to the reality that 65 and I'm out. Love, your words have power. Okay. But only have I recently realized that's just a generational curse that the devil's tried to put on my family. I will not proclaim that over my life anymore, because I'm gonna see 65 and 66 and 67 and 68 and 69. The devil ain't gonna hold me on it no more. And I'm not gonna proclaim it no more. And I'm not gonna get comfortable in that disease that my family carries, and we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Amen. But it's so easy to get comfortable when that's all you've seen for so long. Is that okay? Diabetes runs in the family, so I must have it too. Don't proclaim that over your lives. Our words have power. We have authority in the name and the blood of Jesus to rebuke that sickness, and it has to go. But we can't get comfortable in it. All right, let's move on. Hold on. One more thing just came to me. You know, we're creatures of habit. Is that okay? Yes. Being comfortable, we're creatures of habit. I can prove it. On a Friday night, we have youth group here at the church, the Surge Youth and Young Adults Group. And I can tell you almost person for person, chair for chair, where they sit. Larry's usually about the 4th row back after he plays drums, right there about where Tara's sitting. You've got Alex about where Mr. Kevin is sitting. I can tell you seat for seat where they sit. Some of you here this morning can totally relate, because that's your seat. Most of you have a schedule, a routine. If I ask you where you're at 6 o'clock in the morning, 95% of you are gonna tell me sleeping. The other 5% of you are gonna tell me that you're drinking coffee or whatever. You have a routine. We have routines, we're creatures of habit. But sometimes we gotta break out of that habit that we're in order to see the blessing that God has for us, the fullness of the blessing, because we can still be blessed inside of that comfort zone. But I don't want just a blessing. I want that double portion blessing that we've been hearing about. I want that double portion anointing that we've been hearing about. So we got to break out of that comfort zone. Amen. So Jesus said to him, "Rise up, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well and took up his bed and he walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Now, just for time restraints, you know, the man walks out of there and everybody is like, "Oh my goodness, you just got healed and Jesus healed me. Amen." And it was awesome. Is that okay? Now, we fully understand, I hope by now, that there's a comfort zone there that we can break out of. But that's our personalized, relational, what's going on with me. That sickness that I carry, that circumstance that I'm in, that sin that I can't break from, that poverty mentality that I just can't seem to get out of, that place it where you want, but dealing with me. Okay? Now I understand there's many of you today that have already broken out of that specific comfort zone. Cancer doesn't hold you anymore. I heard of another cancer case that got healed this last week from this church. Amen. So there's many of you that are breaking out of that comfort zone already, and you can stand and say that Jesus has healed me because cancer don't have me no more. But that doesn't necessarily apply to everybody. There's some of you that are already going for it, that are doing the right things right. So let's look at another story. Is that okay? Let's go to Joshua chapter number 3. It says, then Joshua rose early in the morning and they set out from Achaia Grove and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know by the way which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. So it's a new place. It's a new direction. It's a new enterprise. It's a new, they're going somewhere they haven't been before. I don't know about you guys, but I've been in a place where I haven't been before. I used to travel in the work that I used to do, the line of work that I used to do, and I was often stuck with a truck and trailer in one-way traffic in downtown wherever, because it seems like downtown wherever is always super busy, lots of people, and very little direction. Downtown Orlando, downtown Miami, downtown Tampa, downtown Dallas, Texas, pick one. I think the first anxiety attack I've ever had in my life, I was going through downtown Dallas, Texas at 85 miles an hour with a van and a trailer in 6-lane traffic. And I was just praying in tongues the whole way. Dear Lord, get me through this. It was uncomfortable because I didn't know the next turn. We're creatures of habit. We naturally are programmed. We want to know what's next. We want to know what's going to happen next. We want to know the next move. We want to know that when we pray for that individual, they're going to get healed. But God doesn't say that you have to know that they're going to get healed when you pray for them. He just says that you must pray and believe, and they will get healed. We got to step out of this mindset. We got to step out of this comfort zone. Amen? It's a new place. You've never passed this way before. But get ready, because a miracle's coming your way. Because when you step out of your comfort zone, you break through that comfort zone, it transpires with a supernatural result. All right. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Amen. Then Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people, and the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. That is a mouthful. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, and that the waters come down from upstream, and they shall stand in a heap. That's right. Send the pastor first. And if it doesn't work, we're just going to run away. I'm just kidding. So the word comes. Now he has a choice to respond to the word. Now, let me just give a little background information on what's going on with the Jordan. Because it's just a river, right? We're just crossing a river, ain't no big deal. I've crossed many rivers. Crossed big rivers, little rivers, small ones that you can hop over, big ones that you gotta ride across in a boat. I've crossed a few rivers. Now, the Jordan at this time of the year was flooding. Way up above its banks, in many places, it was well over a mile wide. Now, that's 5,280 feet. For those of you who would like to know that, that's a lot of steps. That's 5,280 steps in a size 12 Nike across that river. That's a lot of room across this place. It's a wide river. Okay, this isn't something, you know, a couple steps and we're across. It's a big river. Now, because it's flooding so bad, there's a current moving across here that's well over 10 miles an hour, and often places in this river over 150 foot deep. This is a suicide mission. We're gonna step out, and if something a miraculous thing doesn't happen, we're all going down the river. It's a little bit uncomfortable going somewhere we haven't been before. It's a little uncomfortable stepping out for the first time into that river. I can only imagine the thoughts running. I've told you guys before, I have a very visual mind. So I think about the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and I'm trying to imagine, you know, I hope they had boldness and courage and we're going through it, and they just splash off into the river full of boldness, knowing that God's gonna do it. But I'm just trying to put myself in those shoes, and I'm, you know, this is more like what I can see. You know, stepping off, we're ankle deep. We're getting a little bit deeper. We're getting a little bit deeper. Nothing's happening yet. There's seven more people behind me. We're getting a little bit deeper. I can only imagine that feeling inside of me is, oh my goodness, is this gonna work or not? That's that spirit of Amalek coming upon us, that doubt. But see, all of a sudden, they responded to the word of God. Regardless of the situation, regardless of the fact that it was a suicide mission, regardless of the fact that they may not make it, they stood on the word of God, knowing that he is good and faithful to provide, and they waded off into the Jordan River, and it began to stand up as a heap on the one side, and they made it across. Now I can only imagine being, I don't know, the 70th person in line walking on that dry ground. I'd be doing a shake and a jive and a juke across there because Jesus has just done something amazing. There's a miracle that has just taken place because of a response and stepping out of a comfort zone. What is your Jordan? Because we all have Jordans in our lives. Maybe it's that bank teller that you so desperately wanted to speak to. Maybe it's that coffee bar attendant. Maybe it's your waiter. You can ask my wife. We have waiters all over the city that we go to. Specific restaurants, we have specific waiters and waitresses at every single restaurant, because I'm taking up this each one reach one, and I'm gonna do it with the best of my ability. So every restaurant I use as an evangelism tactic, because at the end of the day, they still have to serve my food because I'm paying them. So I'm paying them to hear Jesus, amen? And it's working. Amen. The young adults know sometimes they're with us when we get to talk to them. It's working, amen. Sharing the love of Jesus. But what is that comfort zone that you need to step out of? What is that Jordan that you need to cross so that you can receive a supernatural breakthrough in your life? What is that Jordan? Now, again, for time restraints, I was going to read the rest of the story, but I think you all know the rest of the story. They walk across, the water gets stood up in a heap, and a miracle takes place, and they cross over with no harm to them. Amen? Amen. That first step isn't always a comfortable one. It's not. It's not always a comfortable one, but see, that's the thing about this walk as Christians is, especially here, we teach about the power and the love of God. And you know, the vision for the house is bringing the fire of God to Vero Beach by demonstrating his love and his power. And I don't personally believe that's just for one individual. I think that's for the body as a whole here, that we're equipping people here to go out and share the love and the power of God by demonstrating that throughout the city. But that first step isn't always a comfortable one. And we oftentimes allow our emotions to override the spirit that's within inside of us. Am I talking to anybody? On a Sunday, we come to church, we get all holy, it's wonderful, we bask in the presence of the Lord, and then on Monday, and then now it's not so much the presence of the Lord and the presence of God, and now it's me and my emotions and my feelings and this, that, and the other. And listen, I'm guilty. Trust me, on Monday, I'm not thinking about evangelizing. I'm thinking about flat weather so I can get out and troll for some dolphin. Amen. I can always tell the fishermen in the group. But that's just me, you know, but we got to break out of that comfort zone, because even if I want to go troll for dolphin on that Monday, maybe God wants to talk to somebody at the bait shop. Maybe that guy that's selling me my rigged ballyhoo needs to hear about Jesus. But I got to break out of that comfort zone. All right, one more story. And for me, I love this story. You know, Pastor Alex, I was so concerned he was going to steal my thunder. He said he read this scripture, I believe, 2 weeks ago. So we're going to go back through it. It's Matthew 14, 25 through 33. It says, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" This is his moment. "Peter, come." "Yes, Lord." Steps off the boat, walks out on the water. Praise Jesus, there's a miracle taking place. The definition of physics is being totally twisted, because everything else in science says that you should be sinking, because gravity is a law that we cannot ignore, but God can ignore it because he's outside of the box that we put him in. There's a miracle taking place. "Peter, great job, Peter." So the message Pastor preached 2 weeks ago was so awesome. Peter and Simon, you know, gets this great revelation. You were the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. Like two sentences later, "Get behind me, Satan." "Peter, this is your moment." But isn't he just like us? I've been in some rough seas. I took a test trial on a boat a couple weeks back. And I don't know why I decided, you know, to go out on the roughest day of the year, but you know, whatever. We went off and we made it to the inlet and it was rough. And I remember going through the inlet going, "Oh my goodness, we're in it too far now. There's no turning back. We got to go through." And I just remember thinking, "This is bad. This may not end up well. Those rocks are getting closer. There's a cross current. The boat's really going for it." I mean, it was like, I don't know, 6-7 footers. It was bad. And I was nervous. Now they're in a storm, a boisterous wind. I cannot for the life of me imagine stepping off that boat in that inlet. I can't wrap my mind around it. But Peter takes a step of faith. He steps out of that comfort zone that he is and says, "Listen, I'm gonna take a step of faith. I'm gonna break through this comfort zone and I'm gonna step on the water." But just like us, we step out in faith, full of fire, full of boldness, and then that spirit of doubt comes upon us. And all of a sudden, we're not focused on the word of God that has come to me. Now we're focused on the situations and the circumstances and the word of God that was so loud and ringing in our ear, that word that we are responding to, that word that we're taking up in faith, all of a sudden grows quieter and quieter. And that emotion and those things inside of us gets louder and louder. And all of a sudden we notice the winds and we notice the raging seas. All of a sudden we notice the bills that we can't pay. All of a sudden we notice the situations at home with our family. All of a sudden we notice. I remember the first time I stepped out at a UPS store in Fort Pierce, and a word came to me about a young lady at the front desk, and I shared this story in the e-course, so if you guys have been through E2, I'm sorry you're gonna hear it again. But I remember stepping out on faith, knowing that God wants to speak to this young lady. It was on a Wednesday, the middle of the week. It wasn't Sunday. And I remember stepping out of that van full of boldness and fire. I'm gonna deliver this word and her life is gonna get changed. And I stepped out of the vehicle. And all of a sudden that boldness and fire is getting a little less. And I made another step toward the front and another step toward the front. And before I made it to the front door of that UPS store, I don't even wanna grab the handle, because that doubt is whispering in my ear the whole time. What if you're wrong? What if that's not the word of God coming to you? What if that's your own flesh? What if you try to speak to her and it doesn't relate? Because it was a pretty in-depth word of knowledge about her uncle and her father and this person and this person. So like, if I miss, I'm way off, right? She's, who are you? Get out of my store. But isn't that how it happens? Sometimes we get the boldness and we step out of that comfort zone, but instead of keeping our eyes on Jesus and keeping our eyes on the word of the Lord, we get a little nervous. Now, to finish off the story, for those of you who haven't heard it, long story short, I ended up waiting in line. God really tested me, because as I kept trying to let the people go in front of me because I wanted to be alone in case I messed up, he just kept bringing more people in the store, and I eventually had to speak to this lady with a whole queue of people behind me. She got radically touched. She's crying, sobbing, an ugly cry, snot flowing all over the place. It was amazing. The people in line were like totally shocked. The one guy runs out of the store. He's like, what's going on? Out he goes. It was awesome. Amen. But sometimes you got to push through that comfort zone, and we got to break out of that comfort zone to receive the fullness of the blessing, because if I would have stopped at that door, she may not have figured out who Jesus was that day. If I would have walked up to the door and let doubt overcome me and turned around and went back to the van, she may not be saved yet today. But God wanted to speak to her. And all of us in this room have an opportunity on a daily basis to speak to people. We're surrounded by them every single day. Waitresses and waiters and barbers. And I have the most godly, wonderful conversations with my barber. And he's got gold teeth and tattoos, comes straight out of like Chicago. He used to deal drugs and all sorts of stuff. And he's busy cutting my hair, and we're talking about the Holy Ghost and filling us and praying in tongues. And it's amazing. The barbershop goes quiet every time I walk in. And I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. It's just real stories. Is that okay? You can ask Larry. He's been with me. He's seen it. It's amazing. But you guys can do it too. But we got to break out of that comfort zone that we put ourselves in. Now, I was sitting yesterday at Chipotle with my wife, and I think weird thoughts sometimes. Now, please, this is totally hypothetical, all right? This is just my thought of this whole situation of Peter stepping out of the boat. Because I'm thinking, you know, he steps out of the boat, and then everything's great, right? Miracle took place. And all the other disciples, the sailors, the deckhands, the skippies, the captain, they're all watching a miracle take place. But then doubt comes in and he falls and he sinks and Jesus picks him back up. And then, you know the rest of the story. I don't want to read it, but you know the rest of the story. But what would have happened had that spirit of Amalek not come over him, that doubt not come over Peter, and he walked out to Jesus. And he stands out there on the water with Jesus. Now, there's the rest of the disciples. There's the captain, the sailor, the deckhand, the skippies, all in the boat. And oh my goodness, look at this take place. Now, this is where my mind just kind of wanders sometimes when I'm reading the Bible. Because in order to break through the comfort zone, he had to have boldness. He had to have faith. He stepped out of his comfort zone. He received the miracle. Now everybody else around him sees the miracle takes place. And then this is how my mind goes. Again, hypothetical, but is it possible that the rest of the disciples would have joined him, followed by the sailor, followed by the captain, followed by the rest of the crew. And then all of a sudden we forget about the boat. The boat hits the rocks and gets destroyed. And we all just walk to the shore because we're walking with Jesus. And there's a supernatural flowing in my life. That's the wonderful thing about breaking out of our comfort zone, is when we break out of our comfort zone, it's contagious. Because when they see a miracle take place, the unbeliever cannot deny it, that God is truly amongst you. It's contagious when we break out of that comfort zone, amen? It's so amazing. This is the way my mind works, guys. I know it's weird, but I like it. I'm reading the Bible and then I get this little side story. Is it possible that could have happened? Because the one time I stepped out at a UPS store, it wasn't just the individual I spoke to. The rest of the queue of people there got touched as well. Because when the supernatural flows out of your life, it's contagious. Amen? When we break out and break through, we do something that always makes us feel uncomfortable. When we break out and break through, we're choosing to live by refusing to listen to our fears. When we break out and we break through, we're taking that step of faith. When we break out and break through, we're doing God's will. It's fulfilled in our lives. And when we break out and we break through, we get to experience the freedom on the other side because of the supernatural power flowing through us. And as a church, the vision of the church is to take the fire of God into the city and this nation by demonstrating His love and His power. That is the word for you this morning, is to break out of that comfort zone and begin to walk in the supernatural power of God in your lives today. I want to encourage you this morning to break out. Don't live by our fears anymore. Don't live by our emotions and the circumstances and the situations. If you're poor, you don't have to be poor anymore. Take that step of faith. Break out of that zone that you put yourself in. Amen? Amen. Thank you guys so much for coming this morning. Amen. I'm excited about tonight. We're going to be talking about kicking some devil butt tonight, which I love to talk about. Amen. My senior pastor and my spiritual father is Pastor Alex. He loves about talking about kicking devil butt, so it rubs off on me. Amen. So we're going to be talking tonight about how to take that blessing back from the devil. That miracle that he stole from you, we're going to be discussing how to take it back from the devil, because it's payback time. Amen? Amen. So bless you guys. Let's just quickly pray and we'll see you all tonight. Father, I thank you this morning. Father, I thank you for your presence and I thank you for every single thing that you are doing in this house. Father, I pray that you would go with each and every person this day, Father, that you would bless them, that you would just be with them, that your favor would be all upon them, Father, in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Father, I pray that your love and your joy would be with them throughout the rest of the day. Father, that you would bring them home safely and that you would bring them back here tonight in Jesus' mighty and precious name. And all God's people said, amen. Bless you guys. Have a wonderful day. Eat a nice big steak. We'll see you tonight.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.